You know, as I get older, I'm reminded of something my dad told me many years ago. And we would sometimes wonder why Papa got up so early. He said, well, son, as you get older, about 3 or 4 hours a night is all you need. So my wife and I, along with some others, we took a number of trips to Asia and Africa doing mission work. And when you are on your way over there, you cross the time zone, and the time gets back. And you go over there, and they are eight hours ahead of you. And your time doesn't synchronize immediately. By the time you finally get adjusted, it's time to come back home. So we did that so many times till I start waking up about 3 o'clock every morning. And sometimes I still do that, Brother Pelton. And of course, when I first started doing that, I remembered what the older people used to tell the young people. When you want to go to sleep, count the sheep. Y'all ever heard that or told that? All right. I tried counting the sheep and I ran out of numbers. Then I started trying to remember the names of people that I met and worked with and became attached to in congregations where we've served as ministry. And it was interesting to see how over at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when everything is quiet and you don't have anything on your mind that you dealt with yesterday, those names come to you. And then maybe the next time I wake up and can't go to sleep, I said, well, I'm going to see how many Old Testament scriptures I can quote from memory. I'll do that. Next time I give the New Testament a chance. And it's amazing. Try it sometime. When you wake up and can't go back to sleep, don't go to the refrigerator. Say, well, I guess I need to go eat something. No. Just lay there quietly. Lay there quietly and try to remember the names of people, places, things, scriptures you know, experiences you've had. And it helps to bring some joy, especially when it relates to things that are beneficial. I sometimes try to remember all the members that I remembered here at Chisholm Trail. And some of the names I bring up, I say, baby, do you remember Sister So-and-so? Who are you talking about? Well, she didn't remember that one, but I did. So again, the idea is when we focus on the Lord and when we are concerned about the things of the Lord, it gives our mind some exercise and activity that would lie dormant if we didn't take the time to do that. But let's go on a little further this morning. Another good reason that we have to rejoice in the Lord, because when we are doing that, guess what? It keeps us from sinning. If you are thinking about the Lord and go to the bank and you'll have but a little bit to put in, but you want to draw some out. And when you're thinking on the Lord, it doesn't say, well, may act like you got a gun in your pocket and tell them you want some money. When you're thinking on the Lord tells us to provide things honestly in the sight of all men. So we don't think about, we don't follow through with doing wrong, even though we might think wrong. Being cheerful and happy with the Lord is important. Psalms 119 and verse number 11. The Bible says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Yeah. See, being a friend of the Lord and being happy with the Lord will strengthen us. It will build us up. It will also position us to build others up. Yeah. This was a little of what we dealt with yesterday. Iron sharpening iron. Brothers and sisters, spending more time with one another so that we can encourage one another and build one another up and get to know each other and be able to relate to when people are going through things, what to do to be supportive of them. The Christian life was not designed for people to isolate themselves. We were made to be together. And if you're one of those persons who say, well, you know, I don't get nothing out of worship, but what I'm going to do as soon as the minister finishes, I'm going to take off. I want to suggest to you this morning that you're going to be like that vine that's taken from the tree. You're going to wither. You're not going to bring forth any fruit. And whatever you've put forth to do, you're not going to be able to prosper. We were made to be with one another. Y'all know that? One of the great joys that every Christian should experience is the joy of assembling to be around your brothers and sisters that you haven't seen in a few days. Anytime it gets to a point where we hate to assemble with one another, we've already lost our joy. And of course, when we lose it, sometimes it's difficult to regain it because we begin to develop some indifferent attitudes. Then, of course, if we're still looking to be happy, another thing we ought to do is strive with all of our might, not just to talk the Christian life, but to live righteously. Talking it and living it is two different things. Now, I don't have to tell you that, you know that. It was just a refreshing this morning as we sat in the Bible class to hear different ones say, I have some things I struggle with in life. But in spite of my struggles, I know the Lord is still with me. I know the Lord is still in my life. I know that He is still activating some good intentions in me, even though I struggle. And so when you strive to be happy in the Lord, it furnishes you with everything you need. It brings peace, it brings joy, it brings happiness, and it brings contentment. So living a righteous life, there's a general principle in the Bible that brings about the results of what it's like when you're living a righteous life. One scripture says this. There is the principle that says, be careful. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, the scripture in essence tells us to be not mocked. For God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, this is talking about sisters too, y'all. It's not talking about just men who sowing, but it's talking about generically. Whoever we are, whatever we sow, we will reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You know, living righteously helps us to avoid a lot of things in life that many people get into. It helps us to avoid many things in life that people get into. It helps us to avoid going through some experiences that are bad. It helps us to avoid going through some things that can take us farther down the road to destruction when we live righteously. Now, if a person is not living righteously, they won't be able to know the difference. But when you live righteously, there's a little something that goes off in this brain up here that says, no, you don't need to do that. But you know you can go ahead and keep on being concerned and running that through your mind. I think James pretty much describes this. He says, for every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. Now, James was not narrowing the lustful thing about man lusting for a woman or woman lusting for a man. Anything that you and I set our mind on and we just decide, well, I want that so bad, I don't know what to do. If we think about it long enough, finally our mind will begin to cut out a way that you and I can do it if we think we don't get caught. Okay? And then it'll convince you, go on to do it because you're not the only one did something like this. And then it will say to you again, go on and do it this one time. And after you do it this one time, you'll be satisfied. But you know what? Anything, I don't care what the sin is. I imagine it's kind of like people who get attached to or hung up on using whatever kind of drug you want to name. Now, I don't know nothing about drugs. I never experienced them. But what I'm told is that when a person uses his or her first, what do you call it, hit on drugs, you just have to use it one time. And they tell me that it brings such a feeling of height and ecstasy that you want to do it again. Well, that's the way sin operates. Sin operates that way. It'll lead you into an area that seems to be pleasurable. But when you get into it sometime, it's impossible to get back. And so what we have to do is guard our lives to live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. Living right helps us to enjoy the better things of life. Psalms 32 verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, many sorrows shall the wicked shall be the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall be his. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice in your righteousness, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Paul, in his writing to Timothy, says these words. Now, I'm talking about something that we can all identify with. Because everybody got a little bit of it. Some of us got more. Some of you have more than others. You know, Paul said this. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have coveted after. And as a result, they have strayed from the faith. And while straying from the faith, they've got involved in this greediness, and it's pierced them through with many sorrows. Now, I'm not teaching if you want to have a happy life, stay away from money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not teaching if you want to have a happy life that it's a sin to have money. But what I am saying, if the Lord blesses you to be a person of means, you control the means rather than letting it control you. You want to be a happy life. I often wonder, why is it that some people who seem to be successful in life will become victims of what money will do for people? I know you've read about, heard about, it's been going on ever since I was a boy. People who are successful, they will do things beyond what we might expect of them. Because that there's that false security that whatever I get into, I got enough money to get out of it. I don't know. I guess I need to ask Brother Todd about this, Todd Barnes, because he's an athlete. And I've often wondered, why is it that our athletes are blessed with good talents? They're blessed with money that have enough to throw away. But they turn around and do crazy stuff and have to spend it all out on lawyers. And still they end up serving time. Same thing happened to some of the rappers, some of the singers, other people who are successful in life. Well, I've concluded that people behave this way because they don't have a relationship with the Lord. If you got a relationship with the Lord, you know, you can have money running out of all your pockets and all your ears. But you realize that money has its limits. And Paul says, because of this, many have driven themselves into many sorrows. Now, while there are sorrows and pains that the righteous suffer, there are so many problems which the righteous will never have to suffer if they continue to be faithful to the Lord. The righteous will not have to worry about the effects of what too much drinking will do. They won't have to worry about which drug should I use so that I'll be able to get off it when I want to. They won't have to worry about sexually transmitted diseases because they know where their place is and who they should be with. They don't have to worry about getting caught up in following the crowd because they have a relationship with the Lord. And so I'm submitting to us this morning, if you really want to be happy in life, choose to follow the Lord. Yes, sir. Stay on the Lord's side. Amen. Refrain from the appearances of those things that are evil. And then the final thing I want to share with you this morning in this line is something that we are doing this morning. And that is worship God regularly. Okay? Don't allow worshiping God to be put on a cycle where I worship him every other week, every other month. every other time when I really feel like it. We can't put our worship to God on that rotation basis. We should worship God regularly. You know what happens when the person worship God regularly? They are happy people. They are joyful people. They are peaceful people. They are people who you can depend on. But the individual who puts God, worshiping God on a rotating basis, it don't take much to rub them the wrong way. It don't take much to put them in a position where they're about ready to give you a piece of their mind. It don't take much for you to put that person in, for the person to get in that position to where they want to have nothing else to do with you. And so it is then that we look at the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter, if you really want to be happy, always find it in what you do for the Lord. When we do things for the Lord, it brings peace. It brings happiness. It brings joy. It brings contentment. And it relieves us of the things that people worry about on a day-to-day basis. Have you been able to leave your worries behind? If you haven't, may I suggest to you, number one, get to know the Lord. All right? Get to know the Lord. I mean really know him. I'm not talking about knowing how to call his name. I'm not talking about learning all the names by which God is called, Jehovah and all of that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about developing a personal relationship with the Lord so that as you go from day to day, you know who it is that's guiding your life. You know who it is that's providing for you. You know who it is that's keeping you up and on your feet. You know who it is that gets you off your bed of affliction when you've been there for a while. All of it goes back to the relationship that you and I have with God. And so if you really, really want to be happy, may I suggest to you this morning, get to know the Lord. Not only to know him, but to walk in him. To trust in him. To rely on him. To depend on him. Because our God is faithful. Now in the reading that came from 1 Peter 3, Peter suggests similar things to what I've talked about this morning. He talks about being of the same man. He talks about not speaking evil against one another. He talks about the idea of being sure that we love each other with a pure heart fervently. All of these things are leading in the area of helping us to be alike. Of helping us to be alike. Now there's nothing better than being with people that you can identify with, you can get along with, you can reason with, you can do things with and find joy. And the only way you're going to find those kind of people is in the body of Christ. And the only way we're going to be able to keep those kind of people is all of us have to do the same thing. Now, there are no shortcuts to doing the Lord's will. Whatever the Lord says to do, we just have to do it. And I'll admit to you, everything the Lord has that I've read that the Lord wants me to do it, I don't always want to do it. I'm going to be honest. I don't always want to do it. But I know if I want to be at peace, if I want to be happy, if I want to go through life with a reasonable amount of sanity, I better do what the Lord says. Now, you might wonder why people go crazy and doing all kind of stuff in life. Shooting. Killing every kind of way. Road raging. Anybody done any road raging lately? See, that was a time if a person made a mistake while driving, you could toot your horn if they were crossing the line. But you don't do that no more. You just take your feet off the accelerator and give them time to get in their lane, right? Okay. That was a time when the sun go down, it's almost dusk dark. You meet somebody and you honk and let them know they don't have their lights on. You don't do that no more, do you? See what I'm saying? We live in a world where people don't know God. Yes, and because they don't know God, in their own mind, they respond to things by doing what they think is best. And you know our thoughts are often wrong, aren't they? They are the kinds of things that will get us in trouble every time. I think it was Isaiah said, the thoughts of God are higher than the thoughts of man. He says, for as high as the heavens above the earth, So are the ways and thoughts of God higher than the ways and the thoughts of man. Church, I presented this lesson this morning, not a shouting type lesson, I know that. But it's a kind of lesson if we will hold on to it. It will give us something to live by. Anytime I come to Chisholm Trail, I don't try to look up something new to talk about. Because y'all are the kind of folks I've known most of my life. And the kinds of things that we deal with, even though we are separated from each other, we go through similar things. And when we are around people that have overcome, and they can say to us, you know, I used to experience such and such a thing, but the Lord's been good, and I'm doing all right now. Be around people and they say, I used to struggle with this, but it's no longer a problem now. Then every once in a while somebody say, my health is failing, but I've learned to live with it. See, all of this kind of thing comes about as a result of really knowing who you are and knowing who the Lord is. Now, if you're here this morning and you have not found the peace that you've been looking for, I want to suggest to you, number one, that you get to know the Lord. And the way that you can get to know the Lord is by opening up your heart and extending the opportunity for someone to help you to understand God's will. You see, the Lord himself had us in mind before the foundation of the world. He provided a perfect environment for mankind to live in. But through disobedience, through temptation, man and woman failed in the garden. Y'all remember that? Yes, sir. And when they failed in the garden, their eyes were open, and they began to realize that we have violated the will of God. So what happened when we break the law? We go hide, don't we? Yes, sir. They went and tried to hide. The Lord said, where are you? They said, we over here. What? Come on here. No, we had to fix our clothes. They sold some fig leaves and made some clothes. And before then, they didn't know they was naked, did they? See, enlightenment from the will of God helps us to understand when things are right and when they're wrong. But the absence of that knowledge will allow us to do some things that we find later on that brings heartache and pain and sorrow. One time I did a lesson that came out of my upbringing experience. And that was, when you've been given instructions and you violate those instructions, the first thing that comes to you is, I shouldn't have done that. Now, why does that come to you? Because your first man, y'all remember that first man? That first man will pretty much tell you whether to do or not do. But that other part of your mind say, I want to do it just one time. And you go ahead and overrule that first man. And sometimes you don't get a second chance to correct that wrong that has been done. But you know, the Lord loved us so. Even though he sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, he died in order that all of our sins could be forgiven. And everyone that has been baptized in Christ, into Christ for the remission of sins, your sins have been forgiven. But the Lord knew that in time, we was going to revert back to doing things from time to time that's wrong. But he tells us to come back by way of repentance, by way of acknowledging that we are wrong, and then pray one for the other. And every time we do that, the blood of Christ cleans us up again. Aren't we glad for that benefit? That benefit cannot be found in any other institution except in the body of Christ. No other organization except the body of Christ. But when the Lord cleans us up, he provides an opportunity for us to go on and walk in life. And if we mess up, guess what? We come back again. Lord, I messed up. I ask your forgiveness. Forgive me. The Lord forgives us. And we start walking all over again. Now, church, that's a benefit that money can't buy. That's a benefit that we all need. Because regardless as to how righteous you are or how righteous I am, the Bible says we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the only thing the Lord requests of us to do is just be humble enough, be transparent enough to say, Lord, I was wrong. And I know it's hard for some people, to admit when you've done wrong. But let me submit to you this morning that it's a simple thing to do. Lay aside your pride. Lay aside your arrogance. Just humbly submit to God, and He'll forgive you for your transgressions. Amen. If you're here this morning and never responded in obedience to the gospel, the plan is very simple. Having been taught the Word of God, you must have faith in it. The Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And once you've demonstrated faith, you must have a change of heart. I'm going to change my way of living. My lifestyle, I know it's contrary to the will of God, so I'm going to stop doing things to please myself. And I'm going to start doing the things that pleases the Lord. Then we ought to confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Then submit to water baptism for the remission of sins. When these things happen, the Lord allows us to become a part of His body. We arise therefrom a new creature in Christ, and we can go on our way rejoicing, because now we have the gift of eternal life, which God has promised to all of those that believe and obey Him. We have a song of encouragement that we're going to sing right now. And if you need to respond, we invite you to do that while we stand and while we sing. Ooh.